Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin." He said this because they were saying, "He has an evil spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Amen. Our prayer is that God will add his blessing and understanding to that reading from his word. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Well.
How's the family at Failsworth at Roman Road? Hope you're all good. Hope you're all good. Thanks for inviting me to come to visit you here. It's always good to come here and to go to other churches and meet members of the family. We are a family, aren't we? We are a family. Even though I'm from wonderful Wigan and you're from sunny Failsworth, we are all part of the same family, the family of God. I've known some of you now for quite a long time, but it's always good to meet new members of God's family. I've known Clifford for a long, long time. We were talking in the vestry that next week Clifford's coming to the Resource Centre for a minister's education meeting. And when I was training to be a minister, Clifford marked one or two of my essays, but we'll not go into that in case he gives the marks. And I've known Dorothy for a long time, and I've known Derek for a long time. I think our training overlapped slightly. And I've known Beryl too for a long, long time. We're like brothers and sisters. Derek's like a brother, Clifford's like an uncle, and Beryl's like an auntie. I go to a church in Wigan called Hope Street. Good name for a church, Hope Street. And for as long as I can remember, going back to when I was a little lad, and that's a long, long time ago as well, we've always had plenty of aunties and uncles in our church. Auntie Gladys, I remember when I was little. Uncle Fred, Auntie Raya, Uncle Jimmy, Uncle Roy, Auntie Joyce, Auntie Doris, and Auntie Bessie, and that's not the one who makes the Yorkshire puddings. Do you have that sort of thing here? Do you have that thing here where you call, children call older people auntie or uncle? We have. I say we've had it for a long time. And my Christian life would have been a lot poorer if it wasn't for relationships like that. All kinds of different and wonderful relationships. People who prayed for me. People who helped me when I grew up. People who looked after me when I got into trouble. And people who still look after me when I get into trouble and still pray for me. My Christian life would have been a lot poorer without knowing people in other churches, without having brothers and sisters in Christ like you. All those people, as I say, all those different relationships, those wonderful relationships, all those good, special relationships within the church, older, mature people passing on their love and faith to younger people, young people and some not so young, learning from one another about the grace of God, learning how to do the will of God from the example, the teaching of Jesus. All these different people make up the church of God, make up the church. We're not blood relatives, but we're all linked, joined together by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. We're not perfect people, but we're forgiven people. Repentant, trusting, hoping, believing in Jesus as Saviour, confessing Christ as Lord. Learning, teaching and proclaiming the truth, the good news of faith. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That was Paul's experience and what he taught to the church at Rome. Our faith comes from hearing that message through the word of Christ. And Jesus said many things, but he said, I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. That is God's will. All believers are the family of God, following Jesus, loving, caring, sharing, teaching, doing the will of God. We are the family of God. We are one in Christ. Whenever I come to Failsworth, Roman Road, to preach, someone always sends me some Bible notes with details of what you want me to preach on. They used to come through the post, but now they, with the modern technology, they come by email. And Arthur sent them to me this time. Thanks, Arthur. But I was saying this to Derek the other week when we met at Connectional Committee. Every time I come and I receive the notes, it always seems that the passage you want me to preach from is deep and difficult. Now, that's not Arthur's fault. I know that's just the way that it works out. But next time I come, if you invite me again, can I have something easier, please? The passage in Mark is not the easiest. I don't want you to think that up to now I've been avoiding it, because I haven't. But this passage starts where the work of Jesus really begins. He's chosen the 12 apostles and the disciples, and he continues doing the will of God. And he continues to do everything that God has sent him from heaven to do. He goes on reaching out to all people with love, mercy, and healing, with compassion and kindness, giving the people that came to him, that flocked to him, something that no one else could give them. As we read what Jesus, as we look at Jesus and what he did, and how he did it, we see the model for our ministry today. But we need to remember, as we serve him, as we do the will of God, that it is all about Jesus. We need to remember that it's all about Jesus. We can only work and witness today with his love in our hearts, with his Holy Spirit within us, to teach us, to guide us, to inspire us, and to move us. I've thought a lot about this, as Derek said when I mentioned this to him at Connectional Committee. The passages might seem difficult, but it makes you think. And it does make you think. And with God's Holy Spirit, we can think about these things. I've thought a lot about this. We do get it all wrong if we think that our church life, that our work is about us. It's about our intellect, about our strength or our ability. If we think that, then we deceive ourselves. It's all about Jesus, our God, his power, his mercy, his Spirit. As I thought about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, a witness for Jesus today, a phrase kept coming into my mind, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. And at first I couldn't think where the phrase had come from. And then I realised that it was the line of a hymn, an old hymn. And it tormented me. Have you ever done that? You start thinking about something and you can't remember where it's from. I can sometimes, I do it a lot, remember the line of a hymn, but I can't remember a line in a hymn, but I can't remember the first line. As I say, I was tormented a bit by it and kept thinking about it and thinking about it. But the words wouldn't go away. And the words were these that I say, I think, describe what it means to be a disciple and a witness for Jesus today. The words are lowly and humble, a learner of thee. Lowly and humble, a learner of thee. That, I think, is the beginning, the middle and the end of Christian discipleship. That's what Jesus calls us to do, to be lowly and humble, a learner of him. Now, I'll leave those words going round in your head for a minute and I'll let you think of the hymn that they come from, and you can tell me after. We read in Mark's Gospel that great crowds flocked to hear and to see what Jesus was doing. It was amazing. They were amazed. It was wonderful. They were filled with wonder because he spoke like no one else. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. Whenever, wherever God does something, the enemy tries to oppose what he's doing. The enemy try to oppose it in whatever way he can. It's still the same today. The devil, Satan, is not bothered when we are doing nothing, when we are sitting back, just doing what we want to do. He's not bothered when we do nothing, but the moment we work and witness in Jesus' name, then the trouble can start if we let him in. And I'm sure you've experienced that in your own lives and in the life of your church. And we need to pray that Satan will be bound and won't spoil anything that we're trying to do. Jesus did God's will, and many multitudes were drawn to him, and they were blessed, they were healed, and they were delivered. But the opposition not only started, but it intensified. His family tried to stop him. They thought he was out of his mind. Perhaps they thought that he was neglecting his duties he should be doing at home, but they thought he was out of his mind. They thought he was doing something that he shouldn't. But they didn't really know him. They didn't really know who he was or what he was about at that time. Perhaps there have been times when our family and friends have questioned our sanity, all because we are Christians. I'm sure at times that's happened in my family, you know, the wider family. Why do you go to church every Sunday? What it's all about? Why do you pray? Why do you believe? The more Jesus did, the more the opposition intensified. The teachers of the law came up from Jerusalem. I know in the scripture they came down from Jerusalem, but being a good northerner, you know, you don't go up to London, do you? You go down to London and you go up north. Well, the teachers of the law came up north to Galilee. As Jesus revealed himself to his followers and showed God's grace as he ministered to them, the more angry and antagonistic the religious leaders became to him. They became angry because he spoke with authority. They became angry because people were flocking to him, following him. And they loved the praise of men more than they loved God. And that is something that we've got to be careful about. They loved the praise of men more than they loved God himself. But whatever they did, they couldn't deny his power to cast out demons. So what did they do? They tried to discredit him. They tried to turn the people against him by speaking against him, by insinuating that his power came from the devil, came from Satan, came from Beelzebub. They tried to say that he was practicing some kind of black magic, and the ruler of the demons, Beelzebub, was helping him to do it. Their pride, their arrogance wouldn't let them see who he really was. Their pride, their arrogance wouldn't let them accept him as the Messiah. Jesus answered them. He called them to him and he answered them. But he let their own words condemn them. In their sin, they talk nonsense. Because if his power was from Satan, why would he be working against Satan? Why would he be casting out demons? Why would he be opposing evil? A kingdom, a house, even Satan cannot stand against himself. Only someone stronger than Satan could cast out the demons. And the actions of Jesus showed that he is stronger and much more powerful to save. The teachers of the law's sin was knowingly and willingly attributing to the devil what was obviously the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. I can't think of any simpler way to put it or any clearer way to put it. Their sin was knowingly and willingly attributing to the devil what was obviously the mighty work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. And that sin is an eternal sin. That sin is an unforgivable sin, an unpardonable sin. Because to go on and on and on saying that the Holy Spirit's work is the work of Satan, that it is evil work, is unpardonable. And the more a person does that, the more a person says that the Holy Spirit's work is the devil's work, the more a person turns away from Christ rather than coming to him, the more a person denies the divinity of Christ, the farther and farther away from God they go, until they end up truly, truly lost. A true Christian, a person born again of the Spirit of God, could not do that, could not commit that sin. But as we look around our world today, we can see that it still happens, still happening in our world today. Not time this morning to say too much about it, but the evidence is there that Christianity is a force for good in the world. Believing in Jesus brings faith, hope and love. Something that the world cannot give, or the world cannot take away. Christians down the years have been motivated by their faith to counter evil and to do good, to do the will of God. We're not surprised when opposition arises in whatever form it comes, in a variety of forms. Just one example that I'm sure you're well aware of, most of you are well aware of. Recently, the aggressive new atheists, and they are new atheists. There's always been atheists, but these are new. People like Richard Dawkins and other people like that have attempted to undermine Christianity time and time again by suggesting, by saying, by repeating that religion is the root of all evil. True religion, faith in Christ, is for good, not for evil. Their words, their arguments, will soon sound hollow and pointless in the light and power of the gospel. Let's face it. There are those who will never accept God's word. But our duty, our responsibility, is to do God's will and to tell the good news and share God's love whenever and wherever we get the opportunity. And that's what I know you try to do here. On the face of it, as we come to the end of this chapter and the final verses of this reading, they sound harsh words, don't they? Jesus was told that your mother and brothers are outside, and he says, who is my mother and my brothers? Jesus is not dismissive of his mother and brothers. He's not being rude to them. He loved his mother, he honoured his mother, he loved his brothers, and we know that he cared for Mary right to the end. Here, Jesus describes his true family and shows that God's family is not exclusive. It's inclusive and accepting, welcoming of all. But there are those who, for whatever reason, for whatever excuse, choose to stand outside of the family, who choose to stay outside of the family rather than come inside, rather than come to Jesus and sit at his feet and sit in the fellowship, in the circle around him. If you're one of those who feel that you're outside of the family of God, then don't stay outside. Come in and receive every blessing that God and his family have got to give. As Jesus said, when we come to him in faith, we are adopted into God's family. We are truly his brothers and sisters. No one needs to be on the outside, to stand outside. We can all belong. So wherever we are, Failsworth or Wigan, wherever we go, whatever we do, when we answer God's calling, when we do God's will, we know and can show how special it is to be in God's family. What a blessing to know that Jesus is mine, that he is our Lord and Saviour. What a blessing. Isn't that right, Auntie Beryl? Isn't that right, Uncle Clifford? Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? God bless you. Our prayer is that we will give God the glory, that we will honour and serve him always, and that he will bind us together in his love. God bless. Amen.